This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Sadie from Hip in Detroit.
And Christy.
And we are hanging out live at Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak, Michigan. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Sadie. What's up?
Nothing is up, man. I'm a little hungover today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, Bear vs. Shark last night.
Bear vs. Shark last night at the
crazy?
Loving Touch. It was crazy. It was, you know, I saw him like 3 months ago at Third Man Records.
Yeah.
And that was a really young crowd.
Right.
And people went nuts and were like crowd surfing and beating the hell out of each other and, you know, doing the whole Bear vs. Shark thing.
Right.
But then I scoped him last night at the Loving Touch, which is a much older crowd.
Like, yeah, I heard Vince Troia said everyone there had collared shirts on.
That's really funny. I did see Vince for a second. That's really funny. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was definitely an older crowd and those people went crazy. Mark Paffy was like crowd surfing the whole time and like other people were crowd surfing. Some girl was crowd surfing. I was like,
I don't know who went to the Friday night show.
I don't either.
Because everyone that I know went last night, but Friday night was sold out.
I think they sold Saturday night first, maybe.
Yeah.
And then sold Friday night. So maybe like our group of friends bought them the first time and then went backwards.
Yeah.
But it was a cool show. It was packed. Loving Touch packed is always fun. I think it's funny, though, that for DIY, they pack it in like, they act like.
It's like a way younger crowd.
But it's like full. And then they call that a sold out show last night.
Right,
and there's like room to move.
Yeah.
And then I found somebody's like ripped their boobs, like their padding out of their bra.
Yeah.
And just threw it on the ground in the middle of the bathroom. And I was just like, that's so awesome. Like I snapped it out. I'm
why
just like,
wouldn't you just take your whole bra off?
Why wouldn't you do a million other things? Why wouldn't you throw it in the trash can? Why did you wear it out in the first place? What are you doing with your life? Stuff it in your purse. Like there's just so many. I love things like that at bars where you're just like, I don't understand what happened here, but I like it.
Yeah.
Like, so speaking of bars and speaking of people who book shows or shows in general, I want to introduce our first, our guests today so that they can be part of our conversations.
Right.
So first and foremost, we have Virginia here, and Virginia owns Party Store Productions. Hi,
yay.
Virginia.
Hi.
And then we have Ramona here from Black Iris Booking.
Hi.
Hi, Ramona. Two ladies that you may not know their names, but I feel like you probably know their companies. And if you don't know their companies, then you definitely probably know their shows, considering
definitely.
I think both of you probably bring at least half to like 2/3 of the shows through town at this point. Like, it's awesome. Well, at least the smaller, like, I mean, okay, we're not booking the Palace,
right.
But
yeah, right.
Who is, anyways, like, they need some help.
Yeah, I don't know their name.
I don't know their name either. But I know, I want to be, like, totally emo for a second because I feel like Christy feels the same way.
Yeah.
Growing up, you know, this is a very male-dominated industry, music, just music in anywhere, not even just Detroit, and there's very few women involved, and if they are, there might be a token one person in a band kind of thing. There's not like a lot of women in music. And I just remember two things growing up. I remember both of you, and I didn't personally know you. I just knew how the people around me spoke about you, mostly men, who just like, oh, that's Ramona. That's like, you know, that's like Ramona over there. And it was just like, no, but she seems awesome. And like just hearing people talk about Virginia and being like back in like the bang days.
Yeah, you
and
basically
stuff,
like ran the Garden Bowl for
you ran everywhere, like and it would just be like, oh, you know, that's Virginia over here. You were doing like the bingo stuff, you were doing all, and it was just like everybody had such a high respect for both of you, which is rare to see in this industry.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I was like, I have to meet these girls. Like, what's their deal?
We were lucky to grow up with some awesome dudes.
Yeah.
You know, that
we got our best.
We got to share it with them. You know, like, I wouldn't have been doing shows if I didn't grow up with the guys that I grew up with.
And, like, who would you attribute that to?
I mean, it started out with a lot of hardcore bands. And then, I mean, Bang Bang is one of my favorites.
Me too.
The one that I feel my heart and everything. And they still to this day support me so much.
And people still know their name.
Yeah.
Like, that's still a band that people talk about and still say things about.
And I think we had a lot of venues that supported us. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike Moyanis, from day one with Alvin's. I mean, that gives me goosebumps.
That was the first show that me and Christy ever booked
really
was
did
with
give
you.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. But I mean, him and I just remember
Dave Zania has always been great.
Dave's always been great.
Dave's been awesome.
I've always been a little scared of Dave because I don't know him.
He's not that scary.
But everybody else is always like, yeah.
I was intimidated by him for like the short minute that I worked there.
I mean, he's a very mean dude.
He's a boss is what we're trying to say. So Dave owns the Magic Stick, like Majestic Complex, like that whole area over there, which has changed a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you used to mostly book upstairs there, and now you mostly do the cafe, which is changing again.
Yep, again. But now I just keep waiting.
Now the Magic Stick's back, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I just keep watching it
evolve.
Yes.
I like how every time I go there, it's an up in the air if you can smoke on the patio or not. Like one time you can, the next time you can't. It depends on the last time a fire happens and how mad Dave is about said fire.
Yeah. Who's
bartending.
Like the whole nine yards. So I've always wanted to ask you guys this. Do you remember the first show that you booked?
I was trying to think of that. I don't remember the first show that I booked, but I do always remember I got asked who the agent was for Converge on one of the buyers conference call for Live Nation. And because I booked the show, they didn't know who the agent was. So that was like my reminder in my head that I booked that show, even though I really wasn't on the contracts and I really wasn't the buyer.
Right.
I'll never forget knowing the agent and knowing that I booked that Converge show.
So did you first work for Live Nation then?
Yeah.
Is that where you got your like...
The Shelter was my first shows ever.
Okay.
And with Perry Lavoine. And he, I mean, God, I have been so blessed. I learned how to book shows from Perry at Live Nation. I learned how to book tours from Andrew Ellis and Matt Galley. And that's My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, Dashboard Confessional. And Perry is now like the head of Live Nation touring.
Right.
So I've been very fortunate in who I got to learn from. And I met those people from the guys that I grew up with.
Right.
You know.
Which is kind of crazy.
I was lucky. I dated a dude in gutter punk. Maria Suker managed them. And she was one of the few women I watched her growing up running shows at St. Andrews. And she saw me doing a show once and was like, do you want to come work for us? And
how old were you?
I think I was 20, because I think I was bugging her for wristbands when I wasn't 21, and that was an ongoing
none of us ever did that.
Yeah, it was like the joke.
One of my favorite, well, actually, St. Andrews is the only place I ever got kicked out of for drinking.
Whoa.
They caught me in the bathroom, underage, which was, I missed a show. I don't even remember what band it was, but I know I was heartbroken at the time. Oh. Just like standing outside, like there was no texting my friends then either. So I was just standing angry outside going, I got to wait for 2 hours for my friends or whatever. I lost my train of thought. See, this is what being hungover does to you. And drinking boxed wine.
Yeah.
Oh, drinking underage. Yeah. So when I, thank you for reminding me.
That's okay.
When
I
came to the Magic Stick, when I was actually 21 for the first time, Greg was working the door, and Greg's been working the door forever. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he goes, you have to be shitting me. And I was just like, I haven't been sneaking in here for years. That never happened. I have no idea what you're talking about.
That was my story. Same thing at the Shelter.
He just started laughing at me and he was like, you have to be joking.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm 21 now. It doesn't matter. Like, you didn't know the difference. Dancing on Monday and Thursday nights like it was nobody's business. Right. One time I puked in a pizza box after I ate some Sergeant Pepperonis. And then I tried to hit on a guy holding the pizza box with puke in it. And that's like one of my favorite.
That
like,
is a classy move.
That was like an 18, 19 year old Sadie experience.
I
did not. I think he had a girlfriend. I don't know.
My puking was... I puked on the tour manager of Lucero's shoulder.
Are you kidding me?
As I hugged him goodbye.
At the end of the night?
Yeah, after he was paid and everything was done.
Hey, listen.
It was the band's fault.
Did he notice? Was there like enough
that... At the Stick.
Was there enough that he noticed?
I mean, I think the hug was too hard.
Yeah, it was so hard. It just squeezed it out.
Like I love that. I love that. There's always those embarrassing moments where you're like, this is not my shining moment, and I'm owning it anyways.
It was like, I think Ramona just puked on your
That's a band that you brought to town a lot of times,
and people go crazy. I'm so excited. We are doing a show with St. Andrews with Live Nation, and I absolutely love that they give a shit to keep the loyalty with me.
Yeah, I mean, but not just that. Like, they draw a crowd.
Yeah,
like, people are loyal to them.
And they always come and ask where I want to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a nice power to have.
And, well, it doesn't happen often. Most bands now, I feel like,
yeah, people nobody's are less, loyal. Like,
loyal to the history.
Nobody's
and
loyal.
And it also is because there's bi venues in Michigan, in Detroit, fighting over shows.
Totally. So, the same
bands,
level of
agents,
shows.
Everybody has, it's almost like they have a little bit of an upper hand. So when you get one, a band that actually comes to you and says, what do you think is best? It's one that makes you smile still, you know?
So, before we go into fighting about shows, because I want to talk about that a little bit, I want to ask you, what was the first show you ever booked, Virginia? Do you remember?
I remember having a part in the first Leader Kinney show at Zoo.
Holy moly. Are you kidding me?
In the early 90s.
I just had an orgasm. Are you kidding me?
It was really, Mike Trombley was doing Homocore at that moment, and he had me help him with that.
So Zoot's was the cafe that was above the first Idol Kids. That was on 2nd Street, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't come into it until
like
the Idol Kids
days.
Next
to where the Bronx is now.
Right, next to the Bronx, where you used to be able to get a haircut on Sundays for some reason.
Oh, yeah, that was Kara.
Okay, I didn't know who that was, but I always thought that was like the weirdest thing in the world, that you could just go to a bar and get a haircut. And they were good haircuts.
Yeah.
So Zoot's, tell me about Zoot's. I never got to go there. I hear about it like it's history all the time.
Oh, yeah, that was like my very first venue. We would go every night, no matter what it was. We'd just bring in our six-pack. It was a coffee house, no alcohol.
Right,
yeah.
And then, so we brought it ourselves.
Yeah, so we brought it in ourselves.
Were we allowed to, or did we just kind of do that?
I think it was it was noted, but not nobody really cared.
Right, they didn't actually say it was okay, but nobody cared, kind
and
of thing.
Everyone was so good about it because they were happy to have the place.
Right. Because then there wasn't a lot of places. Yeah. That's a big difference in the music scene.
And it wasn't a house, so you were literally in somebody's house. It looked
a house. Yes. Okay, I
wasn't
wondered.
There like a fireplace up there or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
because, right. So it was just that downstairs room.
Mm-hmm. It was like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right that in the window.
When Dave and Jason first started Idol Kids there on 2nd Street, Dave lived on the top floor. So I've been in that room. I think there was an artist living there at the time.
Yeah, they
that's
had a gallery
small room.
In there.
Well, I remember
before.
Even
how did Slater Kinney play a room that small?
It was sold out, I think, probably with like 70 people. Like, honestly, it was super fun. And so that gave me like a little thirst for it. But then I started working at Garden Bowl and I did some stuff. Like, I helped Ramona out for a little bit. And then Rock Lottery and.
Rock Lottery was awesome.
And from there,
when did that stop? Because I do remember that now that you say that.
You know, maybe
I remember
have
that being a cool
about
thing.
Doing that
four
again?
Or 5 years ago. I've thought about it. I thought about bringing that back.
It's definitely it.
So for people that don't know what Rock Lottery was.
Oh, okay. So we would take 15 drummers, 15 bassists, 15 guitarists, 15 singers, throw them all in a hat, and then match them up, and they got 1 week to perform, to learn and perform.
I don't remember that aspect, damn.
Yeah, so they would learn a cover, and they would create an original song, and then we had them all do one gigantic crazy.
Wow, that's cool.
Awesome.
I'd like to see that again.
Yeah, because, I can't remember.
Listen, guys, festivals these days are not what they used to be.
Too many.
There's too many is right.
We're saturated.
Yeah.
Christy,
day.
I told them before you came into the studio, but I feel like I have to say something.
Okay.
And I feel like I never say anything negative.
Okay.
But did you see DIY's lineup today?
Yes. And I was very disappointed by it.
Dude, are you kidding me?
I still haven't seen it. I've been trying to.
I feel like you need to pull it up on your phone.
It's been the same over and over for the past three Pig and Whiskeys and DIY's now.
Oh.
I mean, it's like Goober and the Peas.
Detroit Copers is cool.
I played it in a long time.
They played the last two years, I think.
Pig and Whiskey. Like,
oh, did they? Okay.
Or no, they played Pig and Whiskey. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Which, that's a great
hit.
It's not bad.
I think that's the only time that they play it anymore. It's like Inferno there.
And I do think that's part of the fact that too many people have too many festivals and they just kind of do the same thing over and over again.
That's it.
I mean,
too many festivals.
You don't do any festivals ever, Virginia, do you?
Not really. I did Hamtramck Music Fest this year at Painted Lady.
Oh, okay. So you booked that venue.
That's cool.
So that was fun.
That is fun. Actually, that's one of my favorite festivals these days.
Yeah.
Because basically keep it real. Like,
well, they basically brought back Blowout in, you know, for real again, and they do keep it real, and each venue has a curated
And they let us do our own thing.
Kind of story to it and stuff. I do like that. And I obviously like Blackout Barbecue. Your biggest show of the year. That's always
Black
I feel like
Christmas,
that's a thing.
Black Christmas.
Yeah. And Blackout Barbecue, too, though. Did you only do that once? That one
Blackout
was fun.
Barbecue. Well, we did an acoustic one this year.
Yep, you did an acoustic this year. That's where my brain is messing up.
Black Christmas worked so well with the Suicide Machines that the Coffin Cats and I wanted to do something. We really wanted to be more of a car show, tattoo show, big
barbecue. I like the car show aspect.
But we couldn't get enough cars. We couldn't get people into it downtown, so we were going to move it.
I was going to say, I'm going to be honest with you, my dad has a 65 Mustang, and there is not a chance in hell he's bringing it down to the Magic Stick.
Yeah. Like, well, we were actually, which I'd love to hear people's thoughts. I don't know if the Coffin Cats would be excited that I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, but we would kind of like to bring it maybe to Westland.
That is out by you. I used to travel to shows in Westland a lot. I feel like I don't travel as much.
Farrell's Golden Cup.
Yeah, Farrell's, we used to go to a lot. Like a lot.
Yeah, we all did. I think I saw a
And those were like adventures. That was like getting off high school and like jumping in the car. Oh, of course we were.
And we were all like,
I mean, Mom, we definitely were not. Don't worry.
No, yeah, we did.
I was the driver and I was sober.
I hope my daughter and son don't do that.
I think they will.
I know.
And you will have to embrace it someday.
Yeah, there's Uber now.
There is Uber now, and I left my friends last night. Yeah, I could listen. We were at the Loving Touch, and they left the bar and went to another bar. And I texted them and called them. You're out at that point, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to answer your text and your call, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, I felt horrible about it. But, like, also, you we were in Ferndale, and you live in Royal Oak. I think you can handle this. You're 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like,
I think they'll be okay.
I felt horrible, but I was like, nope. And then they texted me like 30 minutes later. I'm like, bitch, I'm already at home eating nachos. Like, we're done at this point. Like, I called my boyfriend on the way home and was like,
get the nachos ready.
I need you to make some nachos.
Like, the pants are off. I'm not kidding.
I went crazy. Oh, yeah. Makeup was off. Like, I was done at that point. Like, you know how it is sometimes you get home smelling like smoke so bad and you're just like, I gotta wash everything.
Yeah.
And I need nachos so fast. Like, I knew that's what we had the leftovers for in the fridge. So I'm like, just make it happen. Just get make it happen for me. So have you guys gone out to any of the festivals so far, like Daily or Pig and Whiskey already happened or Arts Beats and Eats?
I have not gone to any.
I haven't either. Christy, you made it out to Daily, right?
Yeah. The lineup was very different this year.
The only band I wanted to see really bad was Cheerleader. And they were at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I wanted to see Go Tiger Go. I miss them.
Awesome. I like Idiot Kids a lot.
I saw them in a puddle and that looked awesome as hell.
Yeah. There was a lot more vendors this year, so... I mean, it was kind of cool, but there was just...
What type of vendors?
But also there was t-shirts. Rain this year.
Oh, yeah. Was it? It rained?
Yeah. I got there around 2, and it was nice out then, so I stayed 2 till about 4.
Did it rain?
Early
It didn't rain
day.
By where I was.
Yeah, it rained early in the day, and then it cleared up. But, yeah, it was cool.
Okay.
Weird Sisters were there, you know, performing on their little...
Circus-type thing.
Trapeze that they had strung up on a pyramid, and... Yeah.
The only thing I noticed about Daily is that people were posting really early, and I was like, oh, damn, these are, like, all night kids, and they're out at, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon right now.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't ever seen a picture of you in the light before. Like, that weirded me out. I was just like, huh, did you stay up all night? Like, I'm confused as to what happened right now.
Well, that's the thing, though. Most of the good bands were early in the day.
Like, really early in the day.
Yeah. Like, the latest one that I wanted to see was at 4:30.
Right? No, I should have went. I thought about it, too, but I was at the Eastern Market at 9 a.m.
Right.
But the kids do go.
I know.
The Allens were texting me pictures of them eating ice cream.
Yeah, I ran into them.
Yesterday. We have family parties and weddings every day.
Yeah. I told you, like, a million weddings in 6 weeks for me over here. Every weekend, everybody's like, what are you up to? I'm like, another wedding. All my friends are getting... Dude, it's not only expensive, but, like, everybody tries to make their ceremony original now.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. This one, and I am not trying to hate on anybody. God, I hope he doesn't listen to this. But we went to a wedding recently where they were like, these ribbons symbolize your love, and we're going to cross them together, because it was like a non, which I appreciate when people have a non-religious ceremony, but like... We really got to do this ribbon shit. Like, you're braiding fucking ribbons in front of me right now. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
And I can't not laugh because I'm a
so
horrible person.
Was it Rainbow Bright that you were watching?
It felt like it. And I was just like, can you guys just be like, since we're not doing a religious ceremony, are you in? Like, you had your baby shower. And I remember, I've always looked up to you. Like, your baby shower was badass. We ate at a Mexican restaurant.
It was ridiculous.
And that's like your baby shower. Like, that's what makes you awesome.
Well, I just knew that, which I didn't know it was going to be 3 years of being pregnant, but I missed my friends so much and was so huge that I was like, let's have a fucking banger. Like, I wanted to see my friends before the kid came. And all of a sudden, Mike again, Moyanis, was bartending with a tray of drinks at one point. Just everyone was wasted.
God, I don't even remember that. That's the worst part. Like, I remember I had a really good time, but I don't even remember why.
My kid, I think, got like 2 bookshelves full of books from all of our friends.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that was one thing you did.
I think
that's
instead
cool.
Instead of cards, because I was like, oh, I'm going to throw them all away.
Right.
So let's do something
throw
that
them
we,
all away.
Yeah. I mean, I just, yeah. Cards
but that was funny because to me that was like a show. There was so many like people from our industry hanging out, having drinks at a Mexican place.
Yeah, Mexican Village was like, nobody has that many people at their baby shower. And we were like, we have a weird job. She's got a really weird job.
So your husband's a firefighter, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the coolest thing in the world. What city?
Now we're like double weird because those firefighters all come out for everything.
Your wedding, they were all there.
Oh my goodness.
A fire truck pulled up to your wedding. Were you there, Virginia?
I was not.
I feel like you were there, but
somebody
I don't remember
why.
Somebody
had to work at the garden wall.
Also, I was
there. There was like 3 people that had to work.
That's awesome, actually.
It was. Dave came and Ralph came and...
We were,
that was the other one. I was pregnant again then, and I was like, I want to see all my friends before we have another one.
Were you pregnant at your wedding?
You probably saw me with a glass of sangria, because
I don't remember. I remember I took a really good picture of myself at your wedding. Okay. That's what I remember from your wedding, is I took a good picture of myself. That's the kind of person I am.
That never happens.
That's
there
the kind of person
I
am.
There was a lot of good selfies. I remember
I had a cute dress on, and I took a good picture of myself.
I feel like that's a common occurrence.
So great wedding.
Good.
I think we put it together in like 3 weeks, too, because...
You had tacos at that, too.
Yep.
The theme for Ramona is that this bitch really
grandpa,
likes tacos.
He was 100% Mexican.
Oh,
so
I didn't
it was
know that.
Big, yeah, Hector. It was my first... I actually still have 3 grandparents alive, and I'm going to be...
Oh, that is crazy.
I'm going to be 39 next month.
Holy
and I have
moly.
3 grandparents alive, and he was the only
Do
one.
Do you have any, Virginia?
Grandparents?
Yeah.
No.
Do you, Christy?
One.
Just going grandma, right? 91 right now?
Yeah, 91.
Shout out to Christy's grandma. She just had her 91st birthday.
My grandpa's
95,
I think.
Holy moly.
The other
my grandma's 89. She just had her birthday on Labor Day.
Yeah, it's
she's
cool
not real nice,
have.
Though, so.
They get,
no shout out to
I
grandma.
Really, if I live to over 70, I might be crabby.
Right.
Man,
so,
I might be crabby after 55.
I'm already crabby.
I might be already.
This is like another thing I've always wanted to ask you guys as far as like booking and stuff goes. Like, we're not 20 anymore. Sad as that is and whatever. I don't like to admit it. My brother sent me a video of me blowing out my birthday candles a couple of years ago and it said 25 on it. And I was like, wow, I thought I looked better at 25. He goes, oh no, this is when you were 29 and still telling people you were 25. And I was like, oh, that makes more sense. Yeah, that looks like what 29 look like. But like, I know for me personally, I don't know if you feel this way, Christy, like I sometimes feel out of things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hip, but I'm not as hip as I was a few years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you guys stay on top of like what is cool? Because I feel like we write about a lot of your shows and we give tickets away for, you know, both Party Store Productions and Black Irish shows pretty frequently. Black Irish, really?
Yeah. I am
maybe
Irish
both.
Too.
We don't you know, so, I, you know, when I write about it, I do research for the bands and kind of see what the story angle is. Maybe if somebody has a new album coming out or whatever, we're going to point out. And I don't know half the bands anymore. And you guys have actually turned me on to a lot of music. Because when I do the research, I'll be like, oh, I should grab that CD or, you know, whatever. I need to see that band.
That's how Lucero was for me. Like, I had no idea who they were. Their booking agent, Corey Christopher, it was Corey Christopher at that time. It's not any longer. But I just have built relationships since, like, I was saying it was like 20, I think, when I worked for Live Nation. You know, since I am going to be 39 next month. God, how many times can I say that on a podcast?
Edit that one out.
Sometimes it helps you deal with it.
Yeah. It's like,
I've been saying 33 for a while, and I don't turn 33 till Wednesday, but I've been saying it for like a good 2 months, so
Ramona,
I could be like...
Does that mean you're actually going to be...
No.
Yeah, right?
I'm really going to
exactly.
be 39. But I've known these people now, you know, since I was 20. So they really... It's kind of like a collaborative of, like, agents, bands. Since I work for Atomic as well and I book tours, I mean, even, like, Counterpunch right now, they're in Detroit, but I book them their whole U.S. tours. So they're at El Club telling me how cool the place is.
Right.
And it's like I get the bands and really my friends. It's still just,
like, we just get input at all times, and we have to be on top of it, so I do look at that more, you know.
Yeah, you watch.
I mean, are you finding stuff online, or are people sending it to you?
I definitely do some of that, but most of it is agents coming to us with bands. With that, we then research and like look into.
See if it's something you want to sell.
With Atomic, it's something different for me too, because I have an owner. It's Reverend Horton Heat's booking agency. That's was the main band that we started.
Okay.
Or the company started.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's who I book tours with. So, I mean, he literally sometimes will email me 6 times from 1 a.m. till 5 a.m.
Because that's when people in that industry work. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. So just like asking me why these 6 bands don't have an agent. And I've never heard of some of them. Some I have. But so I'm always getting somebody telling me, you have to check out this band. You have to, because you've been doing it for so long, people just know to come to you now.
Gotcha. Right.
So that's how I feel.
Because I feel like a lot of like smaller local bands always want to know, like, how do I get somebody to pay attention to me? And they go about it probably every wrong way possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt that like from our end. Right. So like if somebody, let's say, wanted to reach out to one of you guys, you know, they see that you have some acts, because sometimes you guys do act for like local people to add on to a show.
Oh, totally. Sure.
Like what is the right way to
and
go
I like
about
new
that?
Ones. I like to get a new band that I just tell them to not give up.
Yeah.
Because literally some days I get 69 emails an hour, and some days I get 500 emails in an hour. Like,
right.
If you
and
get me on a day that didn't get as many, like, I might get to check it out. Just don't give up, and eventually I will get back if I don't right away.
Yeah, I think that's for sure true.
Because it is those people with the tenacity that, like, get me eventually.
Right.
And not that I don't try to get back to everybody. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people,
a lot of people
in Detroit and a lot of bands.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes when I feel like when it's just a blind, like, hey, what's up? You should check this out. Like, do you know how many of those we get? Like,
right.
You know, sometimes just, you know, and sometimes I'm in the mood where I'm like,
yep.
You know what? Sure. I'm at work right now. Let's put this on the backtrack. And sometimes it's just like, this is never going to happen. Bye.
Yeah. Well, and it helps too.
I need a clear mailbox.
It helps too if somebody tells me, like, I'll get Katie from Suck It Suicide, and she'll tell me, like, hey, I was at a festival, because she goes to more festivals than I do.
Right.
Because
her
kids are older,
like,
and I'm at home with the little ones. So she comes over my house to actually hand me down boys' clothes, and she tells me about bands, because she's there. So it's really, again, our friends.
Because sometimes, too, seeing the live show changes everything.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah,
like, there's been bands that I'm just like, oh, I don't know about this. And then you see them, it's like Idiot Kids yesterday. I think they changed a lot of people's minds after they saw that show.
Right.
Like, rolling around in the dirt, getting wet, being crazy. Like,
right.
I love that bands still do that.
Yeah. Me, too.
Because I feel like a lot of that has changed over the years.
Yeah, like theatrics.
I do, too. I live for that stuff. Mm-hmm. I love when people wear costumes. I love when people have dancers. Like, I'm still a sucker for that.
Yeah, you got to do something different, because there are so many bands.
Yeah, and you're like, you have so many different things to do. You don't have to just be audio. You can be visual. You can do other things.
Right, and a lot of people bring, like, I remember one time, oh, God, this is a funny story. You guys had somebody coming to Smalls. Black Iris had somebody coming to Smalls. And Matt needed to set up, like, a video screen for you guys.
Yeah,
for some band.
Was that?
I don't even remember. Retox. Oh, God, Retox. It was.
Oh, I love Justin Pearson, though.
They set the whole thing up. I do, too, because I'm a huge Locust fan, so whatever.
Oh, my God, I love. He made me read a book. I mean, for, like, the first time. No, I hadn't read one in a long time. It was, like, you know, after high school, and I was booking shows, and I wasn't into reading as much as I should be, but
you just don't have time.
You just don't have time. I read like 2 pages before bed.
I don't know why. I don't know if it was because his performance knocked me. You know what I mean? Like, it just got me.
Yeah, totally.
And I was like, I went home and read the book, and I read like 11 books after that. And I was like, every time I see Justin Pearson now, I'm like, I haven't read in forever. Your book.
You need
turned
to jumpstart me again. Oh, yeah, because he wrote a couple books.
Yeah.
Two or three,
awesome,
right?
Especially the one that was about, it's about the music industry. And because we have not had, you know, we don't have an easy job, but it was cool to read a guy's point of view.
You don't have an easy job, and that's something I mentioned to you before we walked in here today, is I saw somebody, and I'm not going to name who it was, but I saw somebody on Facebook commenting that they thought better bands should be coming through town, and they were going to step up, and they were going to handle it. And I just started laughing to myself. I was like, oh, are you? Are you going to handle it? Because the fact of the matter is like, booking is a really tough gig to get into. You're dealing with
and
who's
deal
on
with
tour.
Every day. not even just to get into. Like, we do, like, one show a year.
And I want to kill myself. Kill myself.
That's right.
Literally, I want to kill myself.
I'm glad
you don't.
No, last year, I'm not joking. We did a show, we did our four-year show at Zeke's, right?
Yeah.
So me and Christy are anal, and we're on top of stuff. So everybody, you know, Christy made out this beautiful, like, points of who's playing at what time and what everything you could possibly want to know about our show that night and how it was going to run.
Sure.
We get to the show. The bands all load in while restaurant still is serving food, which they weren't supposed to do. Then they put it all in a place they're not supposed to play, you know, put it. So then the sound guy comes up to me frantically and he's like, these bands have come in when they're not supposed to come in. They put stuff where they're not supposed to put stuff. And then none of them know the lineup. And I was like, you're all fucking assholes. Like, you've known the lineup the whole time. The lineup's on the flyer. The lineup was texted to you. It was emailed to you. And I'm just like, matter. I can't deal with you babies.
You can text them 5 seconds before they go on stage.
And they never answer.
So you never know if you got it. And you're just like, listen, you have a Google spreadsheet of all this. Just open it up, brother.
I think it's a little different with us.
All the time.
Yeah.
So
I am too old to care now. You know,
you were getting phone calls right before you walked in here. You were getting phone calls right before you walked in. Be honest.
Yeah, that's always. I just text everybody. And I'm a texter too. And I try to knock it into their heads that if you email me or text me, and if it's a big, like if it's your deal, if you're trying to get me to confirm money, I'd rather you email me.
Right. Because then you have it down in writing.
Right. And you don't really love doing that on Facebook or love doing that via text, but a lot of them. Yeah. So I try to knock it in their head just to email. And I try to, anytime I'm doing something that I want to get in writing, I try to say, okay, cool, I'll email you. And that will be the confirmation. Right.
So how many hours a day do you guys think you're spending doing emails?
That is
66 hours?
Yeah. That's what everybody goes, your job's so fun. And I'm like, I don't have the fun part.
But I think they only think of the fun part when you're standing at the show and you're watching it happen and everything's so magical and everything goes off without a hitch. It's like,
and then I'm nervous.
Of course you're nervous. It makes me sick to my stomach every time.
Yeah. So you still get nervous even though you've been doing this for years?
Oh, yeah. Every day I'm like, are people going to come? And I'm there at like 8 o'clock. I'm like, I know nobody comes out till 10, but are people going
to
come?
That's the worst panic attack in the world, from like 8 to 10:30 where you're like, no one's here. Everybody's here. And I still do that. And I try to show up to things earlier now because I don't stay out as late as I used to. And I still don't. Like, we recently went to... oh my God, who plays Sleigh Bells?
Oh,
we had him at L Club a few weeks ago, which was a great show, by the way.
Oh, it's so insane.
We missed Tune Day. And like, he comes up after and he's like, oh my God, you're here. And I'm like, I'm here. And he never asked me if I saw him. So I just never said, by the way, I missed you. Because like, I've seen you enough. Yeah. He knows. Listen, I would have been honest with him had he asked. But like, why do I still do that? Like, I don't mean to do that. Last night, we purposely went earlier for Bear vs. Shark because I knew it wouldn't be too late of a show. Right. But we still missed... who opened? Somebody opened that I wanted to see.
Was it Child Bite last night?
It wasn't Child Bite. No. It was somebody... Golden Torso. I wanted to see Golden Torso, but I missed them.
I haven't seen them in forever. I like them.
I like to see little shirtless, what's his name, running around like a crazy person. Durgan.
Yeah.
So tell us about L Club. So you guys have been working together a lot at L Club. It's a new club.
We have been
Southwest.
I love that we get to do stuff...
Together again.
Yeah.
Aww.
That's my favorite part is just that we don't compete with each other like some people do.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, that's not normal, right? It's not normal for two booking houses, as you'd say, to work together on stuff, is it?
Well, I think we're both kind of, we're private promoters and talent buyers, so it's a little bit different.
And we're kind of in different genres.
Right.
So that
Yeah, because I've always thought of you. You get more of the punk, you know, hardcore stuff from Mona, and you get more of the indie rock and roll.
But I love, like,
futuristic DJ stuff.
I was so jealous.
You've gotten
of
into
her,
the DJ thing and, like, the more electronic music thing.
Yeah.
Did you find that hard?
Well, I think a lot of the stuff that I'm in, it kind of was a natural evolution into that because it would be like, oh, it's the weirder stuff that kind of sounds like noise or just...
I like that stuff now.
Yeah. So it's not just like
aunts.
It's not just that.
Also good, but I have other people I work with who are
that do that thing. Yeah. Right. So, like, when you guys team up on something, what do? You just, one of you comes to the other person and says, "Hey, I have this. Let's do it together." Or
usually, like, Ramona brings the shows that she has that she thinks are a good fit for L Club over to L Club.
So you kind of curate L Club then?
Yeah, I'm like more in house at L Club.
Okay. I really love the L Club. The best thing about it, of all the things, the patio is the second best thing.
Patio's sick.
The sound is the best
thing. Every band
says. The sound at L Club is like butter. It's divine. Like, Sleigh Bell sounded so good, but Chelsea Wolf sounded amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm blown away. And the lights in there are really cool, too.
Yeah.
It was funny when Sleigh Bells was hanging from one of the light fixtures.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, no.
And I used to think, like, that's the coolest thing in the world. And now I'm from the behind-the-scenes area, and I'm like, oh, my God. Don't break that.
Or I go, don't fall and break your arm.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. You're looking at it from a different... Right.
Oh, God, please Julia don't hurt
Lewis,
yourself.
They had her, like, she, like, kind of surfed all the way over to the bar, and then somebody fed her a shot of whiskey, and she got, like...
Holy moly.
Surfed back over. I was like, oh, no, what if she falls?
Seeing me, I was standing literally in the back of the venue, like I always do, and I had a little dance party going back there, but that's, like, my thing now. Like, if you're looking for me at a show, I'm being the back corner.
Yeah.
Probably the back right corner.
It's, like, the safest place.
Well, you can see everything happening, which I love to watch crowds, and then...
Sounds good back
there.
It
sounds amazing back there, so then you can actually see what you're, you know... up against and not be able to not hear the next day.
Yeah.
Which I miss.
I'm
being
so
up
deaf
there.
Now that I kind of...
so dumb.
I don't hear anything very
good. I don't hear anything very good.
Seriously.
Like, so what shows do you guys have? We're looking at a list right here that Christy printed out. What shows do you guys have, like, coming up that you're excited about?
I'm super excited. I'm announcing tomorrow Rocky Erickson the Friday before Halloween.
Okay, cool. Club.
So that's going to be sick as fuck. Sorry about the F
yes,
word.
That
no, you're allowed to swear. Awesome. Don't worry.
So that's my biggest thing.
So what's the date on that? Is it the 28th?
That sounds about right. I'm sorry.
That Friday before that. Friday it's the 28th then.
You're really good at this.
Oh, believe me. I got months planned out. When people say to me, like, hey, can you pop out an article tomorrow for blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, oh, no. Like, I'm way ahead of that. There's literally, like, five people that have emailed me, and it's probably been both of you at different times, that I'm like, yeah, I'll get that up. Because I'm like, if you help me, I'll help you. But in general, like, I'm always focused on weekends and what's going on and, like, knowing what's going on. And especially when we book shows, like, I plan out a long time in advance, because I think that's the biggest flaw with shows in this area is sometimes there'll be like six of them on the same night and you can't go to all six.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably one of the hardest parts right now. I think the shows are suffering a little because there are so many.
Well, and from like a music lover's point of view, that's awesome. I love that there's so many venues, so many bands, so many, but like,
but
you know, from the booking
cool
side of stuff.
Right.
That's the hardest part.
No. We need more cool kids.
Yeah.
We need more cool kids that don't like EDM.
Right.
Or, like, I've gone to a couple EDM shows, but I'm just like, it's cool. Like, I'm not hating it. It's sort of just like being at a club with a DJ, except for most people can't drink yet. The only time I ever went to an EDM show was at the Crowfoot parking lot, right? And, like, Danny Brown was playing with a bunch of bands. So I went and met my friend there. And I was like, cool, this is going to be fun. And I was, like, significantly older, you know? I mean, like, I was talking to one of the security guards, like, she was my friend.
Yeah.
And we were talking about kids today. And this kid, I'm like, hey, can I get a stick of gum? And he just looked at me and threw up on my shoe. And I was like, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. This is not. And, like, to the point where I walked up and the people from the Crowfoot that know us, they were like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I don't know. I'm checking out the show. They're like, you're not going to like this. it was fine. Danny Brown was awesome.
You should have just went
to
immediately
go to
backstage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wanted to, like, see what it was all about.
Yeah,
like,
do you guys feel like there's a lot of, do you have many shows that, like, younger kids come to nowadays?
Well, Ramona has a lot.
I have a lot. Yeah. I've always been an all-ages show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
but L Club's all-ages all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have that go through my head all the time now. I'm like, all-ages all the time, all-ages all the time.
I know, which is awesome.
Huge.
We're kind of missing that that market.
Downtown.
Yeah.
Right. And that size room. Mm-hmm. And just an awesome place.
I don't know. Like, are there as many kids into music nowadays?
There still are.
It's just weird because we don't know them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when
That's
I go to my own shows, which I don't as often as I should. But
I go to her shows. They're great.
I always have people that are there and I have people texting me and letting me know how it's going. And I never go a night without knowing how it all went.
It's like awesome to see a lot of young people.
It's all new people that I've half the time I've never seen them.
What I'm looking for.
It's adorable to see tiny people.
Real excited. Really excited.
I love to watch my Black Christmas. Black Christmas is
it's huge.
It is also, it's just awesome to, like, Bad Cop. There is one girl in that band. They're not new anymore, but they're a Fat Records all-girl punk band. They're awesome.
Which is crazy.
I booked them all over the U.S. with Atomic. And one of the girls actually grew up in the neighborhood that me and my parents, when my parents were still married, we lived at 6 Mile and Beck. Jeannie, who's in the band, grew up there, too.
Weird.
Kyle from Fireworks had told her, that's Ramona. She does Black Christmas. And he was like, she works for Atomic, too, and books tours. And she was like, we're looking for an agent. And I've been lucky enough to have them since then.
That's crazy.
No Effects tours, They have been offered dates on. They're doing the whole Interrupters tour. That's going to be at the Loving Touch, which is one of the shows that I'm so wanting to be at. I have a wedding.
So many weddings.
It was awesome because she was like, oh, my God, you do this. Will you book my band? And it was just like, and I knew tons of agents that were going after her band. They were a new Fat Records band. Like, that's a sought-after band that agents at times will fight over. And it was just like, I didn't have to fight because she was proud that I did this show every Christmas here. And
that's
that
awesome.
Felt awesome.
Yeah, that's
right. And
that's
it's
huge.
Also awesome that I don't just do it. It is me and the Suicide Machines and Mustard Plug and, whether it be Few and Far Between or the Meat Men or Child Bite or whoever, goosebumps again. It's all of us. It is the guys I grew up with.
Right.
That was how Black Christmas happened. Before Christmas every year, I would get 69 emails and texts.
69.
Exactly. I know. Why do I keep saying 69?
I don't know, but I like it. I like it a lot. We know where Ramona's mind is always, still to this day.
They would all call and text, like, can we play Smalls? Can we play The Stick? Can we do a Christmas show? Few and Far Between did their annual Christmas show. Then Suicide Machines wanted to do a show. PT's Revenge wanted to do a show. Coffin Cats were doing a show. And I was like, why are we doing 10? We're all the same friends.
Right.
Nobody can make it to 10 of these things.
Nope.
We have our family. We have shit to do besides concerts. I mean, not that I want everyone to go to concerts all the time.
right.
We have some other things to do once in a while. So it was like, fuck, do you guys just want to play together? Let's do the whole place, the Magic Stick. Let's do the Garden Bowl.
Oh, I love that. I love knowing the story of how things came together.
It really was. I was lucky enough to get Machines on board first.
Right.
And then everybody fell in line, and we all were just like, we can figure out a way to pay everybody what they were making at their own headline show. So let's just
that's
do it
huge.
Together.
Right.
And we were lucky that everybody...
And Black Christmas every year, so that's what? The three rooms at the Magic Stick, right?
Mm-hmm. Last year, it was about 1,500 paid people or so. And then the band members, the guest list.
And scummy people like me
Majestic.
And Christy who sneak in for free.
The Majestic.
I don't think anybody's called you scummy people ever.
Yeah, never.
You'd be surprised.
It was the Majestic, the Cafe, and the Stick last year.
And then you have vendors.
Because
I remember Painted Lady Trash-Ons was there. Yeah, it was all cool stuff. It was like Party Crew.
You guys have a table.
Oh, yeah. We always team up with Party Crew because we don't have enough stuff. Yeah.
And that it was just friends. We don't charge. It's not like we didn't want to be like the next vendor thing.
It's sweet because everybody's home for the holidays and then you see people that you haven't seen in a while. And still, the Suicide Machines kill it. I don't care what anybody says. They still kill it. Ryan V will always...
Jay,
I've been trying to get Ryan V to date me for years.
How does he go from that stage... Every year, I think, we've done one of his other bands.
After, right?
Yeah. I'm fucking tired by the time Suicide Machines go on.
Right.
Or I was pregnant on the side of the stage that one year.
And he's got like 50 kids at home.
I don't even know. How do you have six kids in five bands.
Like, I don't know.
I can barely handle two.
I really like Break kids. Anchor, though.
I do, too.
I like that band
a lot. And I love Hellmouth. I mean,
I love Hellmouth. I have a weird thing with Hellmouth.
And
I don't know.
It's just such awesome dudes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's...
Do you want to hear something fun? I feel like you, of all people, would appreciate this. Do you know that I work out with Justin Malik on the regular?
I didn't, but I've been watching your the gym.
It's just so funny to me. Sometimes I'll be working out with Justin Malik, who is in Hellmouth, used to be in For Thy Life's Sake, Suicide Machines.
The one that tours all the time.
Brian Southpaw is always there. So right now he's out with All Time Low. It's funny. Like Matt Hayes, who's also a firefighter.
Yes,
shout out to our firefighters. And I just laugh. I'm like, I only know you guys from music, and now we're all gym people. My trainer, Jake Watson, I knew from a path of me. Like,
I get sad that you guys all do it over there because I'm in Livonia.
Yeah, it's in Pleasant Ridge.
I do it all, you know.
You were saying that you're like shooting lasers on yourself to like heat up and work out now.
I'm so hot right now.
Yeah, I don't have to do that at my gym. You are hot right now. Because my gym has no air conditioning.
Oh, and well, so, we do it in infrared light.
Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking.
It's high intensity.
I've done that for yoga.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's...
We call it HIIT. High intensity training, HIIT.
And I don't know. So it's like in infrared light, it's like 82 degrees.
Did you ever
or something.
Think that you would care about things like working out?
I did not. I don't think I'd ever be a...
I have a good question for both of you. What is, okay, if you go back to 15-year-old self, like young girl, what is the thing that your 15-year-old self would be the most proud of and the most like, I can't believe you do that? Who wants
Mine's
to start?
Easy.
All right, go for it.
15-year-old self would be proud that I work for myself.
Yeah.
But 15-year-old self would shit its pants that I did the whole kid in marriage thing.
Right, because I didn't expect that
kids,
from you.
I didn't want to get married. I wanted to book bands for my whole life, I thought, no way. I never want to do
both.
That stuff. Yeah, I love that I met Kevin, and I don't know what the fuck happened. Aww. But it did.
Did you guys meet at the Magic Stick?
Yep. Well, yeah. I mean, he was trying to get guest list spots forever.
and then he got the ultimate guest list spot.
Yeah. All the time.
Two passes. What about you, Virginia?
I guess probably 15-year-old me would be really excited that I was still involved in music and working in the arts and with musicians. And maybe it would be weirded out that I play too much Pokemon Go.
Okay. Okay. Do you play it a lot?
Oh, so much.
I'm real into it, too. No, I'm real into it. It's really fun.
It is super fun.
Just for even like 20 like minutes every once in a while.
A little meditation.
Yeah, and I want a Bulbasaur so bad. And I still don't have one, so
I
it's
wish
like
I could
a goal.
Try,
I know. I think they're going to put that into the party or into the app. Like, they're going to make it so that you can trade with people. Because I want a Bulbasaur so bad.
I know that about as much as I know freaking Snapchat.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to have you guys give me lessons on that next.
It's cool. I don't know. I was really into Pokemon when I was younger. I had younger brothers.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I kind of knew a little too much about it.
Came out, I was like,
totally.
Hours, just like.
And when this thing started recently, I was telling my boyfriend, I was like, you know, Pikachu only says Pikachu, and the way he says Pikachu is like, if he's sad, he's like, you know, Pikachu, and if he's happy, he's like, Pikachu, Pikachu, and he just looked at me, he was like, holy shit. I used to love Smurfs, dude. That was my first bedroom, like,
motif.
Yeah, it was Smurfs, and then Rainbow Bright.
Ooh.
Which are two.
Nice.
I always think about that because, like, I was obviously super into music at 15 and stuff, and I think I was, like, super punk and hardcore at the time. And I think 15-year-old me would be like, you fucking love pop music, and you are such a douche. Like, how many times have you seen Britney Spears?
Every punk rock band that I book, I go, you guys know I don't listen to your music in the car.
Do you only listen to children's
Fergie.
Music in the car?
No, oh,
Fergie.
All booty.
All booty.
Britney.
Yeah.
Fergie.
Especially
do you
the
like
gym,
the new Britney song?
I don't like the whole album. I feel really bad saying
album.
That out loud, but it's true. I don't. Although the one thing I have been listening to, like, in my life, and this would be embarrassing to my 15-year-old self, I can't stop listening to Frank Ocean.
See,
I'm like,
I was
dirty
doing that
obsessed.
When I was 15,
I was
you gotta check
jeans.
That out, dude.
Yeah. Like, bangs out to here and rap music until I went to, I think, the Grounds and then Zoots.
Zeuts is kind of the place that changed it. For me and Christy, I think the Suicide Machines were definitely one of those bands that kind of changed the game.
I mean, like, before that, we were listening to, like, super new metal, like, White Zombie and Korn and stuff. And then
Yeah. And Nirvana, and I was always into Hole. I am legit wearing a Hole shirt right now.
Nice.
Because I am 33 years old, and they're still my favorite band. Do you guys have favorite bands?
I always have, like, a cast of rotating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still stick by Hole being my favorite band of all time.
That's good.
I can't stop.
Very loyal.
Did you ever, you were out in Portland for a long time.
No, I lived in Olympia, Washington.
Olympia, that's what I meant. So you like kind of, years. Like, were there during the whole Riot Girl thing or after?
It was a little bit after that. Like, I was there when Kathleen was there and when Corin and all of those people were there and Carrie Brownstein. And I was married to Slim Moon, who owned Kill Rock Stars. So I had some of that Riot Girl thing happening.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I don't remember that.
I didn't.
How long were you married for?
It was not a long marriage. I got married.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I got married when I was 21 and got divorced when I was 24.
Oh, okay. That's actually kind of long. So.
Yes.
Listen, I've been married zero times for 0 minutes, so.
Anyway, yeah, so I did get, like, some of the end of the Riot Girl thing, but it wasn't, like, during the...
Is that how you were able to bring bands like Slater and Kinney and stuff here?
No, actually, that was before that. Like,
okay.
I came here, and, like, we had them at Zoot's, and then I moved to Olympia.
Okay.
So,
but it was always thought that music sounded really cool, like, that whole scene, just because...
Yeah, it was a cool time to be there, and it's, like, such a weird little college town, and it's just, like... Everybody's so supportive of everything. Well, maybe not anymore, but at that time.
At that time. What do you guys think, like, as far as Detroit, like, what do you think makes the Detroit music scene special? Because it's definitely different than anywhere else. And, like, you, especially, Ramona, you're booking, like, cross-country tours. Like, what do you think is different here?
I think that it has a lot to do with how we all work for everything. I don't know. Like, it's not as... We're not born with silver spoons in our mouths.
No.
And we all work for what we do. And I watched bands, you know, like Against the Grain, just fucking work their ass off.
I always feel that way about Wilson.
Yeah, I'm always like, those kids Suicide killed Machines. It. None of them did anything short of fucking busting their ass. And just like, I think Virginia and myself, like, there hasn't been a time where you get to take a...
I
was doing this on my honeymoon.
Where's your honeymoon?
Where did I go? Punta Cana.
Oh, okay. I went there once.
I was booking shows.
I was drunk the whole time. It was awesome.
I booked Lawrence Arms in the hospital bed after I had just had a C-section with a 10-pound, 9-ounce kid.
10-pound, 9 ounces.
My daughter, Madison.
Your daughter?
Yeah,
oh, God, I was going to say Jackson. Wow.
That's a little meatloaf. The chairs because I was so big.
You had a meatloaf.
Yeah. I had a toddler. So, Mike, that was another Moyana story because he said to me, so I booked that show in the hospital bed right after I was still on drugs. I don't know what happened. And Mike goes, they're telling us that we owe him another $500. And I said, Mike, I got my gut cut open, and they pulled out a 10-pound, 9-ounce kid that day. I fucking don't remember what I said I'd pay them. I hope, give him the $500, and let's call it a day. And he did, of course. But I was like, yeah, I have no idea. I don't remember. And then the agent was Corey Christopher, which is, she was one I grew up with, and she was in Polestar's, like, the top 20 women in music.
Okay.
Like, wow. And she was her own boutique agency to start, and she introduced me to Lucero and booked Lauren's Arms, some of the guys. She books Rise Against, and she's been a friend and taken good care of me throughout the years and, you know, yelled at me and said, what the fuck are you doing booking my show while you're at the hospital? Go play with your daughter, you know?
Hey, so, you gotta work when you gotta work.
Our local bands here... And all of us, I feel like, especially because we're independent, we don't have anybody giving us a paycheck.
Right.
Right.
Our shows.
We got to fight for
so that dollar. So you guys both came up with your company names, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't?
Is it bad that I like to, like, say, no, I did not do that?
Okay, well, no, I want to know where they came from. This is something I've always wanted to know. Where did Black Iris Booking come from?
You're going
to...
Shit, because he was the one that just called me on the phone.
It was Chris Sommerfeld?
Yeah, Chris Holland.
Chris Holland.
I don't know where he got it from. Black Iris was... I don't even remember. And I literally was like... It was when we were putting out Bang Bang or something. And he came up with it. And then we went and got the LLC. And then and then he wasn't a part of, he, you know, then he went on tour and I was here. So
do you do Black Iris by yourself then?
Sarah Norton has helped me for a long time. It's been various assistants. I worked for The Stick. I worked for, you know, with Moyanis. He partners on a lot of shows with me. So, I mean, it's me and the venue. It's never really just me, because the venues are, they cover my ass.
Right.
I don't cover my ass.
You don't.
No. I don't have a banking account to.
I've always wondered that too. There was one time me and Christy booked a show and we had to go to an ATM to pay the band.
I did do that though.
That was the worst feeling in the world.
Didn't you guys ever hear the story about when Elvin's, the new owners, took the money from my show and I wrote a check for every penny I had in the bank. And
no.
I like cried one tear as I wrote it, another tear as I gave it to him, and they go, leave yourself like $150. And I was like, thanks. I owed them like five. It was a sold out. He is legend show. And ooh. I owed him like $5,500. I think I had $1,500 in the bank. And they were like, well, just write us a check for what you have. And they saw an owner take the drawer from my door guy. And
damn.
Yeah. That was crazy. When I was giving up. I was like, I'm done doing shows. Right. I moved out to Whitmore Lake. I went and lived with my uncle. I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And Dave Zania called. Joe Blatchford, I think, was working for him at the time.
Oh,
was like,
I remember that song.
Yeah, you were working. You were in the Garden Bowl, and they said, what are you going to do with your shows? And I said, you want to take them? So they did, and then the rest was history.
How'd you come up with Party Store Productions?
I think I came up with the logo of the beer bottle eating a pizza first, and then I just wanted something that was kind of androgynous and not precious, so... And it's regional, so it all made sense.
Yeah. And that's just you, right?
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Carlos helps me a lot.
Oh, Carlos. That's a good shout out. Yeah. I love Carlos. Every once in a while, I was at a show, so one of your shows recently at Marble Bar. And Carlos, like, pulled up for a second, dropped off something to you, took off. I was laughing my ass off. I'm just like, you've known him since Magic Stick days, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have gotten him the job at Garden Bowl, but no, I think I did. At least I recommended him. He might have had a couple other people recommending him at the same time.
That's awesome.
Everybody loves the Carlos.
Yeah.
And you travel a lot. I feel like you're always traveling.
Not now.
You used to tour with bands, though, right?
I've never really toured with bands.
No?
I went down to South by Southwest with Feelings a couple years ago, but I've never been like a tour manager.
No.
So you don't book anything outside of this state?
No.
Never?
Mm-mm.
I feel like a random question for you, Ramona, is how the hell do you even know venues outside this state?
Well, like, I work for Atomic Music Group, and Scott Weiss has been booking Reverend Horton Heat since they started.
Wow.
Royce tour managed them. When Royce tour managed them, he said, do you know Ramona books tours? Because when I moved to New York to work for Andrew Ellis and Matt Galley with My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, I learned how to book tours working for them. They were those bands' booking agent. So when I came home, I was like, oh, shit, I don't have a job at Live Nation. I don't have anything to pay the bills. Let's do Black Iris full time and not just book shows here. I think it was like Ramallah needed a tour booked. And they were all my friends, and I loved the band. So I was like, I'll try it. And the guys in the band helped me again. Literally, the two dudes from that band and me texted, Facebooked, emailed. It felt like all day and all night, every day for about a month to get the first tour booked. And then eventually, I was booking Trapped Under Ice, Death Before Dishonor, a fucking awesome lineup of hardcore bands that were friends and had grown into, like, when Atomic called me, they were like, how much do your tours gross? And at that time, they were grossing between $25,000 and $35,000.
Wow.
So he said, do you want to come work for me?
That's a lot of money.
It's not.
I mean, for any touring band, that's a lot of money. Like, you know, being realistic, I think sometimes people think like touring bands are making millions. No, they're not. But like, if they're paying their bills, that's pretty good.
Yes. And that was what was rad about it was that I didn't have to. I just got to book the shows that I wanted here because I had Virginia, Justin at the Crowfoot, Cody at Live Nation. All three of them, to just name a few, are awesome friends that I've grown up with. And they're all going to book shows, different shows that I may have had history with or I may love. But I didn't want to there was no need to fight over them because I'm doing tours too. So I just do, you know, my shows really.
Or and what is it like to fight over a show?
We don't
Does it
really
happen
do
a lot?
Much.
I mean, is it a thing? Like,
no, you just put in an offer. Somebody else puts in a better offer. They get it.
Do you get mad sometimes?
Well, of course you want to have every show all the time. I never get mad.
I don't get mad either. I hear stories about people getting mad, but I get more like, well, like Virginia with Sleigh Bells, I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Right?
You know, I was I'm jealous, but in a proud of you way, you know?
Right.
Like, not... No.
To be fair, Graham did Sleigh Bells, not me.
Yeah, there's always that, you know, like somebody else helping you or...
Graham is the guy that owns L Club, correct?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Yeah, his family. He's from the West Coast.
He's from Vermont. Well,
Vermont,
he went
right?
To, yeah, he's
Burlington.
From Vermont. Burlington, Vermont.
I think so.
But he went to Interlochen, so he has Michigan roots.
Okay.
And then
Weird.
He lived in L.A. for a while, though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he's in L.A. right now.
I wish I was in L.A. right now.
So, wait, he doesn't live here?
He lives here. He's just visiting there.
Oh, okay, so. Gotcha. I was like, wait, I thought that he just moved here or something.
And I also think it's cool that L Club is in Mexican Town. There's never been anything over that way ever.
I know. I think it's the perfect time.
It is the perfect time.
I'm not saying that because I live right there and I can walk to work.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You've lived in the city for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've lived in that house like for over a decade, I think.
Okay.
Pretty close. So, but yeah, I mean, as soon as I moved back to Michigan, I was down.
Do you like living in the city?
I love it.
Where do you go grocery shopping?
Honeybee.
Okay. Honeybee's my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a birthday party next week, and I'm going to buy all the stuff from Honeybee.
Oh, yeah. Get all the pinatas.
I want to have like a... I was thinking that. That's I want to have like a taco bar.
Yeah.
And I want to like...
Like my wedding.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of want
to
make it like your wedding. I'm really into
tacos
right now. We went
tacos
to like Caseville, and we were at like a... We happened to be there. There was like a farmer's market or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we bought like this taco seasoning off this really old guy that we're like rationing out because it's the best damn thing. And of course, the package doesn't say what it is. We're never going to be out in Caseville again. Like, who knows if the farmer's market even happened? Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, we only... So I'm like,
There's
for
no,
this
like,
weekend...
Package, like-
It doesn't say what it is. It says a name, but like he doesn't have an online. I tried. No, like it was like it was an.
You gotta start.
Just call up like Caseville's a small town. Call up like the Caseville Chamber of Commerce. Be like, so I got this taco seasoning.
I need Fred's seasoning. Like I need it so hard right now.
So how do you guys think that the Detroit scene is different now? Since you guys have been around for so long, do you think it's changed a lot over the years, or do you think it's kind of the same thing?
I think it's changed a lot. There's like more competition, obviously, because it's not just you can go to the Garden Bowl or you can go to the Garden Bowl.
And because it used to be really just the Garden Bowl and the Shelter, maybe Elvin's for a little, but
Elvin's.
I feel like there's
Elvin's is something else now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fancy.
It's
like
Tony V's or something, like sports
I
bar or something.
Oh.
Like it's fancy.
Couldn't believe that we drove by and I was like, wait.
The bathrooms and Alvin's.
Oh, the stories. If you could only imagine the shit I saw there.
I saw some of it too.
Some of those things. That's why I thought I wasn't going to have children. Because fuck, it just scarred me, the shit that I saw in those bathrooms. Oh, in both of them. Because we were always cleaning at the end and there would still be people. Goosebumps again.
Oh.
Such a bad. Oh, that
you had to clean up the venue?
I did everything there.
Why?
Well, so did Mike. We all did.
Like, why?
Any of us.
That's kind of how it is at
El Club I feel like, yeah.
And you're cleaning bathrooms after this shit?
Yes.
Oh. Virginia.
You got to do everything.
I don't mop.
I think
Inside
I mop.
Inside scoop. She does not
no
mop.
Mopping is not in the contract.
Yeah. Elvin
do you guys
was.
Serve food Whoa. During shows?
We do. We serve pizza up until like midnight. But I once quit Berkeley Front because they wanted me to mop, and I was like, I don't mop. I walked out.
You were just out at that point.
I've never been to a show there.
I have.
Is it good?
You're messing shit. Okay. I played there once as Courtney Love.
Oh, is that where that
was? No,
you.
I've done it three times in my life. That was the second time I did it. It was like
I was jealous of that
a last
too.
Minute thing.
That was like, I wish I had the balls to
That was the best
like
moment
that,
of my life.
I totally don't.
Actually, last night I cashed out at the Loving Touch, and oh my God, Matt. Cinchetti, Matt Cinchetti. How do you say his last name?
Matt or Nick?
Nick. Thank you.
Yeah, you're working there again.
Cinchetti. I just call him like cute boy Nick. Or
he looks like Kurt Cobain still. So he was there and he came up to me and he was, I think he looks just like Kurt Cobain. I don't know why. I think he's very handsome. But he came up and he's like, "Is your credit card a picture of you crowd surfing?" I'm like, "As Courtney Love." It in fact is. Because
really? That's
it was
even more awesome.
The only picture that would upload when Capital One wanted me to, it was the only one on my computer that would upload. And I'm like, yeah, I want that. Because that was the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
And like the best story about that experience is I played Creepy Cheepy, which is coming up here. You know, Halloween's about to happen.
I want to do it this year.
All the cover shows are about to happen, which I get really excited about. I know Seraphim Collective's doing one and the Crow Fit will keep up. Is Creepy Cheepy going to be $5 still?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd love that. Yeah. I think that's one of the best parts about it. Because you can go for a little bit and go to something else if you want. Like, right. It's not like you're stuck
there.
Break
the bank.
You didn't, I mean, Theater Bazaar, if you're investing that kind of money, like, you better have the best costume ever and you better be there from start to finish.
I haven't been there since it was in the backyard.
I've never been.
That was, I could not get past.
It was better.
How awesome it was in that backyard.
It was better.
I just was.
It's great at the Masonic. I'm not going to lie. I think everybody should experience it once.
I know. I got to go this year.
But once you've went once,
You're just seeing kind of the same.
Unless you got some extra cash to throw around.
Yeah, well.
Because I feel like tickets are quite pricey. Yeah, and then drinks are expensive. So once you're there, drinks are about $15.
That's because I got you.
Yeah. You have nowhere else to go. You're stuck there.
And you already spent like hundreds on your costume.
Right. So I mean, you're in for like $500 by the time you get there. So you're like, fuck, I'm having fun either way. And they search you there too, which is like, you know, places like Masonic Temple. They're serious business.
What if you're Edward Scissorhands? What do they do about that?
They don't take that kind of stuff away from you. They just take fucking all the fun stuff away from you.
Oh, just alcohol?
Yeah. Or other things. Like, they ain't letting that shit in. Like, not having. And your night is getting turned the fuck down is what I'm trying to say. $15 a drink, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's insane.
That's pretty high.
But yeah, like, you know, so I got to do Creepy Cheepy, which was like the best experience of my life. I don't know how, and this is something like, I don't know how you guys book so many shows. It seems really hard. I don't know how people get on stage and sing their own lyrics.
Yeah.
Have you ever like thought about cause singing somebody else's?
I have fear of talking right here, let alone fucking doing it on stage.
See, I don't mind talking in front. I love it. I live for that. But like to sing your own words in front of somebody, and then it makes me think. I was talking to Nate Duro last night.
I used to write them on my arm like a crib sheet because I would like
my brain would blank out
and I forget.
I had to get drunk before.
How do they do it?
I actually give people a lot more credit. And then the crowd surfing that night, it makes everybody was like, "I can't believe it, Sadie. You jumped in the crowd and you crowd surfed, and that was so cool. You're such a badass." My friend Mike from college picked me up and threw me. I had no choice in it. I would have never crowd surfed ever. Like, ever.
Are you so happy, though, that he did it?
I'm so happy. Yeah. Do you know the other person, speaking of Chris Sommerfeld, mentioned earlier on accident. When we were 21, we were at a Suicide Machine show in Ohio. And he goes, "All right, Sadie, we're getting kind of old. We need to crowd surf one last time. I'm going to go on the right side of the stage. You're going to go on the left side of the stage.
Oh, no,
and we're going to jump for it." Yeah, and I'm like, "All right, we're going to do this. We're going to do this." And I had done it maybe twice. I did it to see Hole. I wanted to get on stage with Courtney Love once, which I did. And that was 99. Like, the gorgeous, most perfect Courtney Love. And so I did it, you know, and I ran and I jumped and I'm crowd surfing. And then I look back and Chris is still standing on stage. That motherfucker lied to me. He had no intention of jumping at all.
I could see that.
And up until then, 21 was the last time I did it. And then all of a sudden I'm like in my 30s crowd surfing through the Pike Room. I was like, this is really happening. But that's what's so cool about those shows is I think like people come out and like give it their all. I don't like when a band goes out and doesn't even dress up. I'm like, you can't. And Halloween, you better put the show on.
Yeah, like, it seems like that show always has just like a great array of the people that you want to see.
I saw Bars of Gold do The Boss.
Nice.
Oh, that was a really good one.
Oh, yeah.
They've had, I like that they do that. I like when people take some of our like bigger bands around here and sort of make them try something different.
Yeah.
Wilson did AC/DC. That was sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need James Link to do Stevie Wonder for me.
Ooh,
I would love to see that in person. I missed, for these stupid weddings, I missed James Link almost all summer. Mm-hmm. So I went and saw him at Hamtramck Festival last weekend. Mm-hmm. There was nobody there. Oh. And the best thing about, I mean, James Link is my favorite. That's my dude. It's the only person in town who gets less of a crowd at the end than they do at the beginning. There was like no one there at the end. And I'm just like, Sarah Jane just kept taking Snapchats of me. I was singing every word. I was like, this is the best shit ever. But he did attract like some people who didn't know who he was. But yeah. Like for the moment, I was just like, where are you people going? Don't leave. Don't leave. This is so good. Like, yeah, I don't understand.
Voice like Sade.
He sounds like heaven.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's like my thing. When I came and saw him at one of your shows at Marble Bar, I was like, I was in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Voice of an angel, for sure.
And did you do the cheerleader show, their album release there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Yeah, it was awesome.
2 Day and everybody came out to dance. I love that.
Oh, that was such a fun dance
And
party.
I get so excited when there's, like, full female bands, just because it doesn't happen. Like,
Detroit, like, yeah.
Which is also funny, because speaking of, like, obviously you guys run two of the biggest booking houses. Like, a lot of the big dance parties are run by women. Like, I love the Nothing Elegant parties. I love the Hot to Death parties. Like, you know, and then Hip in Detroit's run by two girls. It's just me and Christy. Like, you know, and I was reading, like, I forget if it was Metro Times or Real Detroit. I think it was Metro Times. Did an article about, like, the men who rule the Detroit scene.
What?
It was in, like, the last year.
Yeah, you can think about it. Even, like, well, Smalls now is Melody. Like, I mean, Mike's still
Melody
low,
does all that
Melody
stuff. Like,
that, you know?
You know, because I book tours all over the U.S., like, I have a lot of women. I have a Ramona in California at Bottom of the Hill, which is weird because we both get each other's contracts all the time.
Really? Oh, that's
But there's not tons of women, but that is, haven't you noticed? Like, I feel like what happened. I feel like when I started, there was a few girls. There was, like, Virginia was doing stuff, and I was doing stuff. But I didn't feel like there was as many. We're like, now I feel like there are. Like, YouTube.
Yeah, in Detroit, I feel like.
Telling people where to go.
People I work with are women. I'm not joking.
What to do.
Like,
yeah, it's Melody. Melody's been doing it forever, too.
Like, and writing Kat. About everything for the news. Yeah. And Kat. Kat's a little badass.
Kat. And I feel like Anna's doing a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know, because it's been more so since I've been.
Right.
At home, having babies. But yeah, like there is
Seraphine
just.
Seraphine Collective.
Seraphine Collective, totally.
Like, I just am.
And I'm really into what the Seraphine Collective is doing. Like, I like the shows that they've been booking. They're doing a Halloween thing this year, too. They're Coven Fest or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
It's just awesome.
Yeah. And it's just awesome to. When you don't see it all over the U.S., we really have a solid,
which is what weirds me out. Why is it happening here? I mean, there's got to be a reason. I sent out interview questions to, like, a bunch of the women that I loved, and I got a bunch of answers back, and I've never been able to put a story together that makes sense to me, because it's definitely different here, and it's definitely more female pervasive than other places.
Well, I think we make each other feel safe.
I feel like because you have a few girls that work together and don't catfight, support each other. Goosebumps again.
Aww.
It breeds. You know,
but even like I know, like I was talking to Mike at M1 Studios. Mike hates to be on microphone, but he's giving me a thumbs up right now.
That's ironic.
He just did that Arts Beats and Eats show, and they did an interview with Jax. And, you know, Jax was talking about some different stuff at Arts Beats and Eats, because M1 gets to film all the acts at that festival or whatever. And, you know, Jax was talking about us, which is the coolest thing in the world. Like, that makes me feel really awesome. But, like, that's another person, like, over there. You know, I know Garrett is doing Assemble Sound, but, like, she's such a pervasive, like, part of that whole community that's building all these artists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Liana from, like, name's escaping me right now, with Alex. What is the name of their band?
Autumn. It used to be Autumn.
Used to be Autumn Wolf. What is the name now?
That's Valley Hush.
Valley Hush, like, I just feel like there's all these women that are, like,
doing shit.
They're doing shit. Yeah. And, like, I just thought it was crazy that, like, some of the local papers would be like, the men who run the scene. I'm like, what men? What men do I even email? Like, there's a couple, but really, it's not that many.
It's getting more equal.
I mean, the Crowfoot, but even now, it's getting closer. Jenica's
killing it, managing over there. Yeah, like, I just like that. I haven't been able to figure out what's happening in Detroit that's making that happen, but I think it's, like, something really important to point out, and, like, I don't know, and I don't see, like, the boys respect the hell out of the girls, like, and I think that really started, I think that really started with, like, the Suicide Machines and Jay and a lot of those type of guys who, like, made it, like, they're people that are feminists, like, they're people that, you know, fight for, like, equal rights and stuff, and then it sort of just, like, trickles down. Because I always worry about, like, it is different being a female going to shows, especially because me and Christy go to a lot of shows by ourselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It is different. And I'm, like, glad that we can, like, create safe environments where, like, you know, like L Club, there's a place to park right outside. Right. You pay a couple bucks, you park your car, you walk in. Magic Stick, same thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know. Like, I want to put my finger on what it is, and I don't have an answer right now. But I do like, and maybe it just is that we have a community and we've stuck together. Because
I feel like the support of each other, kind of,
and a safe environment.
And that you grow up watching another girl do it. Like,
Well, that's what meant a lot to me personally with you, like watching you guys and being like, okay, like girls can be part of this. They can be respected. Yeah. You know, like one time a girl said to me when I came out from interviewing a band, me and Christy had done an interview behind at Smalls. And she goes, if it was anybody else, I would think they were back there fucking the band. But because it's you guys, I know you guys were just, you know, recording a video. And I was like, how sad is that?
Yeah.
Right. Like, how sad is that that you would think about other women that way? Like, dude, like, you know, don't ever think that. Like, maybe I'm in the band. Maybe I'm the tour manager. Maybe that's my brother. Like, whatever it is. Like, we do have to kind of support each other a little bit more.
So we got about 10 minutes left. So what shows do you guys have coming up that you're really looking forward to?
I'm really excited about getting the Black Christmas lineup finished and announced. So that's my big goal for, and most, that's going to be my... My plate will be full with that for Detroit. That's my focus right now.
Nice.
On Tuesday, I have Adam Green coming in. He's playing his movie Aladdin, which if you look at the trailer, it looks sick. It's crazy looking. And then he's doing a live set afterward. And Jen David doing Jenny Jr. is opening up. So that's my this week. Don't ask me about next week.
I feel like a lot of times in this business, it is week to week, day to day. Like,
I'm either 3 months ahead or like.
Well, you have to exist in both places at the same time.
Because, I mean, we have a list of all the shows that we're doing ticket giveaways for. And I was looking, I'm like, we have stuff for both of you guys all the way to
through
like,
the
November.
End of the year.
Yeah. I'm booking into next spring.
Bev Love album release.
Love that, Bev Love.
I'm like real into her right now. I got a big girl crush going on.
She's so fun.
Proto Martyr. You guys got some good shows coming through. Health is going to be awesome on the 24th.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Bronx is at the Shelter. That's a Live Nation show, but I am excited about that.
And I saw that it was Live Nation, and I'm like, why isn't that Ramona show? And then I saw that it was your show, too, with Live Nation.
It's sweet because they came to us. Live Nation did, you know.
But don't you think we do better when we work together?
Totally.
Then we all can, like, be... I always thought there was a weird thing in Detroit when somebody would, like, blow up and people would get mad. I'm like... How about you just ask him for some, like, you know, connections? Like, who can I email to get somebody to listen to my shit? Like,
I think that's what helped, too, though, is that the girls and the guys in the bands that we all work together to make the stuff better. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just, I feel like that's really important and that it's so weird that we do it so much in Detroit, but it is. Black Christmas happens because a bunch of us work together. It's not
Hippie
just...
Detroit happens because a bunch of us work together. You know, all of you guys working with us and being able to help us get the ticket giveaways to get new people reading. And, you know, when we do our show every year, you guys are always sponsoring us and helping us with giveaways.
Well, even so, when we first started, it was just like, okay, which of our friends have things going on?
Right. I mean, that's people always ask me, like, how did you get so-and-so to interview with you? Because I knew them. Right. And I was like, will you please help me out right now? Even this podcast, we had to ask our friends for the first one. Like, Dalton and Mike, come in here and start talking to us.
I'm
like,
still asking our friends.
Right, exactly. Like, let's learn how to do radio because I'm a stupid, huge Howard Stern fan. So, of course, I love it. But, like, it's not an easy medium to get into.
Yeah.
But it's, like, another way for us to reach people and to just tell them about all the cool things going on because the city is growing so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can't just be about restaurants, which I feel like a lot of the focus from mainstream media is about the fact that we have a lot of restaurants.
Right.
Yeah, but, like, that's cool. You can eat at this place and then
do
something.
Right. Restaurant and craft drinks. Or
craft drinks.
Beers.
I'm over it.
Me too.
I'm like, give me a freaking Jameson and ginger ale at the Magic Stick, and I'm going to grab some Sergeant Pepperonis, and I'm going to be on my way.
Yeah.
I might eat it at Brush Park if I'm really feeling spicy. Like, I don't know.
I'm so not. The fancy drinks are just, I'm like.
I do like Sugar House.
Sugar.
Too many sugars. Yeah, too much sugar. I do. Yeah. Vodka.
What's your drink of choice?
Vodka soda, splash cran.
Miller Lite.
Miller Lite. I almost bought that, man. I bought the Corona instead.
We like the Corona, though, too.
Yeah. I do whiskey and Coke. just
I'm a whiskey and ginger ale girl. That's my drink. Whiskey.
All right. So since we're going through our favorites, we did this on the first show. We forgot to on the second show. So we started to sing our hip half dozen. So we're going to ask you guys your favorites about a few different things. Let me see my list. Okay. So the hippest bar, or your favorite bar in Detroit or Metro Detroit, wherever.
Mine's all club.
Yeah.
Zeke's lately.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I like Zeke's.
Venue, I feel like, is going to be
mine's going to be kind of solid.
I feel like you have to be loyal to that. I agree with you, too. I'm not joking when I say the first thing to people, the sound system at that place is amazing.
Yeah.
So that in itself,
Even just the setup is awesome.
We needed that. We needed that place really bad.
And the programming, I'm just saying.
The programming is amazing, but just having a space that's clean and nice with good sound, whatever, that was badly needed.
I was really excited to see Madball people putting Facebook posts about how impressed they were with this venue. I'm taking screenshots to show agents people love this place so much that they're posting about it. That hasn't happened in a long time here, and I really feel like we needed it, you know.
Oh, and Marble Ball. I can't even say
Marble Bar.
Marble Bar is awesome too.
Same kind of vibe. I mean, awesome. Yeah. I like that little upstairs area.
Yeah. All right, so your favorite, this is going to be tough for you guys, probably, band.
Do you have an area band that you guys are really into right now?
A few that, no? You don't want to name names?
My favorite will always be probably Bang Bang or Suicide Machines. Right. I mean, they're just the ones that I just have done a lot with. Yeah. I mean, Bang Bang is...
I wish that still
existed. Who wouldn't want? I mean, I'd
like to get rowdy.
Me too. I mean, I have to work out extra for the week.
First time I met Dave Grohl, he was falling off of a stage, not really getting back up. It was Punk Rock Prom at the Majestic.
Oh, I love that prom. Yeah. Those days.
Now he doesn't even
awesome.
Drink.
Ugh. I wonder if Amato is going to bring back Punk Rock Formal now that, the Magic Stick's going to be.
I don't see why not, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have a favorite restaurant right now?
Katoy.
I am fucking obsessed with Katoy.
It's really good.
It's all I think about. I tried Rock City this week and it kind of almost got on the level of how I felt about Katoy.
No.
No, fuck no. I'm not eating ants. Are you kidding me?
Did you go?
I did eat the bone marrow though. The bone marrow was awesome.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not eating reconstituted ants. That's not happening. I'll try almost anything. But
I mean, ants are food of the future.
No, because I texted Allison Graw and I said, I'm going to go try Rock City tonight. Cause she asked me to stop over and she goes, are you going to get ants on a log? And I'm like, you're joking, right? And she goes, look at the menu, honey. And I was like, oh my God, there's ants on a log. It's not cute raisins.
No,
it's ants.
It's not. I'm not doing that.
I don't need that kind of protein in my life.
Me neither.
I'm getting enough protein.
All right. So what about your favorite person in Detroit?
Do you guys have any artists?
You all are my favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been awesome getting to work with Virginia so much lately.
I like that.
Nice. All right, last one. Your favorite thing in Detroit that not many people know about?
That's harder.
It is harder. I'm I don't even know that I could answer these questions.
It's not the coolest?
No?
Secret Sorry, spots. I stumped you guys.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I really just, nothing's, I don't have a secret one. I mean, the Magic Stick coming back, it's hard not to
I mean, is that going to start having more rock and roll shows? I mean, I haven't seen much announced yet.
I don't get inside privy to those things anymore.
Yeah.
I'd like to know. I really hope it does. And I feel like it got upgraded, so now it'll be our spot and it'll be fancier.
Right.
I feel like that idea.
The place is awesome up there. The renovations are awesome. Yeah.
I think everybody thought
the stage
that everybody
is better.
Was bitch
the backstage
bitch.
Is better. Like
Black
everything
Dahlia
is better.
It, you know?
Yeah, I like Black Dahlia still.
Me too.
The first big festival I
Such
ever
awesome guys.
Booked, Black Dahlia was a headliner, which I just think is funny now. It was actually during Movement.
The posters with them and Machines, just people from Europe are like, that's a show?
Oh,
you know,
that's crazy.
Black Christmas with them headlining one room and then Black Dahlia in the other room.
Right.
And then those posters by Jason are just so,
he rules
it. Phenomenal.
He's
so good. Yeah.
That's actually, before we end this, I've always wanted to know, do you guys have somebody who does posters for you exclusively?
Well, he does all the Black Christmas ones, but other than that, I don't.
How are you making so many flyers so fast?
Oh, flyers. I have a kid.
You have a
Brooke.
Kid?
He's fucking awesome. And he is actually apprenticing at Eternal, I think in Livonia still.
Okay.
And he has been doing it just for tickets because he's a good, awesome person.
See, and that's what rolls about the Detroit scene. Yes. I love when people do that. Do you have somebody that helps you out, Virginia?
I have a lady, Lucy Calhill, who's amazing. And she's so, like, all the ones that are kind of beautiful and cartoony, like the Seth Bogart one. And she has a very distinctive style.
Because it's, like, annoying to make the freaking flyers for these podcasts and get somebody to make them blah blah blah.
Thanks, M1, for doing
Shout out for making the one for the last one because we had like 2 minutes on it. But like, I always think about that when I look at your shows. I'm like, how are they making so many flyers so fast?
The kid too, he's so awesome. He literally wrote me. It was for an L Club show. What, I forget what show, but he's like, sorry, I've been sick. Are you kidding? You pay for me for tickets. Like, right. I love you.
Like, sick. Whatever. Thank you.
Yeah. As many days as you. I owe him a lot.
So if people want to see what shows you guys have coming up,
how do they find you online?
I have a new website.
You do have a new website. Yeah.
Party Store Productions.
And I've been linking everything to that so it goes up higher in search results. Because it's like the third or fourth thing right now. And I'm like, nope, this has more information than Facebook. We need to get it up there. Yeah. So everybody right now, log on to partystoreproductions.com and give it a click or two. Maybe visit it again in a week so we can get it up in those search results. Because, yeah, it's a great website. It's got a lot more information. Yeah.
And she links all of our stuff. I don't just do the Facebook now. Yeah. I've done a lot more with Atomic.
That's awesome.
A lot more touring stuff.
But don't make sure you don't leave us here.
Right.
Because need you. We need you badly.
I will not. I will
You're
still
rooted
do.
Here.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you two girls for coming in. Obviously,
thanks for having us.
Much respect to both of you. I hope you guys continue to keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, thank you for taking time because I know it's not easy to get time to come out and do stuff like this. But these are all questions I've always wanted to ask you. So that's pretty sweet.
And a lot of boys, like when we were posting it, like,
they were
all the
so
boys
excited.
Were like, oh, yeah.
I know.
Virginia
I love
and Ramona
that.
Ramona are coming in. Cool.
I love that.
I love that you guys wanted us to do it. So. Yeah.
And shout out to M1 awesome. Studios. Thank you guys so much for letting us keep this podcast going and kind of, you know, helping people figure out a new way to figure out what's hip in Detroit.
And make sure you keep checking hipindetroit.com.
Yeah, because we're going to have like ticket giveaways. I think we have 10 ticket giveaways this week, if I'm correct.
So,
so that's going to be on top of our normal articles. I'm going to be talking about a new restaurant I don't want any of you to go to called The Owl. Because
I thought you said it's awesome.
Oh, it's the best place ever, but I don't want you bitches to take it away from me and make it too busy. So we're going to be talking about that. And then we interviewed a new barber that's working out at Ink Addict. We're going to have that story up this week.
DIY is coming up.
We're real excited about that. And happy birthday, me, because I'm that kind of person.
Happy birthday to Sadie.
I'm 33, motherfuckers.
Happy birthday.
Boom. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next month. Please check out hipindetroit.com, partystoreproductions.com, and Black Iris Booking on Facebook.
This is a previously recorded episode.